Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Good Shepherd. We give thanks for your presence here today, and if you're visiting with us, a special welcome to you. Please let us know how we can walk with you on your faith journey. As we gather for worship today, a lot going on, and a lot going on in the life of our church and faith together. The most important announcement I want to share with you is another way that we can be involved in spreading God's love beyond our walls. And I've got in my hand here this blue pamphlet, which some are available in the narthex and some are available across from the office door. This is an initiative of our Senate in partnership with Episcopalians and Methodists called Reading Matters. And what we're encouraging is individuals to connect with a handful of schools where very few of the kids are reading at grade level. And we know if they don't start reading well in elementary school, they'll be behind for their whole career. So one-on-one tutoring is such an important part of that. And I look around the room and I know that there's a few who've already done that, but the need for every student in these schools is great. And so Bishop Herman and our congregation and so many others in the area are really pushing this, and this pamphlet explains everything, what your commitment is, 1 hour, how that works, how you form relationships is all answered in here. But we would really, as this new school year starts, encourage you to pray about if that's a way that you can share God's love, never having to preach, but simply being there and reading with those kids. So these are available in the narthex and out there across from the office door. As you know, this is an overwhelming time in our lives and certainly a busy week to come. Just a reminder of a few times for gathering for different groups. The Livewire will be hosting a time together for a farewell luncheon this Friday, and that's a potluck, so please bring something to share if you want to come. And Livewire is the senior ministry of this congregation, open to all those in that group. And then Friday evening, the Yogs will do a farewell send-off, and that is for current youth, 6 to 12, but also youth alumni who have been part of Yogs in the 8 years that we've been together. So we're looking forward to that. That's both events on Friday. And then next Sunday, we'll gather together. And the plan is we'll have a regular worship service here at 9:30. At the conclusion of that worship service, we'll stay together. And Bishop David Dodges, who was the bishop who ordained me, is coming back to be with us. And he'll lead us in ascending service together. Once that's finished here in the sanctuary, then we'll all head up to the Fab where a reception is being planned, and that's all I know about it. So, but that's our time together next Sunday, and we hope to have everybody here. Anybody who we've been connected to in our journey of faith together, please let them know that they are welcome to come. So God continues to be at work, and we continue to see God in our daily lives. Let us rise now as we see God in worship, beginning with the confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of our people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister in the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, your generosity waters the world with goodness, and you cover creation with abundance. Awaken in us a hunger for the food that satisfies both body and spirit, and with this food fill all the starving world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. Woe, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came and said to him, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They do not need go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
As the congregation is seated, I invite all my young friends forward for a children's sermon. And now is also a great time to pass those friendship registers down your pews.
Hey, Jackson. In here. Nice to meet you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Luke. Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. All right, good to see you all today. You doing all right? Yeah. All right, we have a few more coming up. Yeah, so we just read a story. Pastor Paul read it for us. And Jesus is teaching a bunch of people, and suddenly everyone's just starting to get really hungry. What do you do when you get kind of hungry? Do you make a motion or anything? Like, I'm hungry. You do that ever? Never? You'd never complain that you were hungry? Never? Yeah. I think I can talk to your parents and maybe see if that was the case, but you just say it. Okay, you just say it. All right. Well, here were thousands of people that were hungry. Thousands. That's a whole lot of people, a lot more than in this room. And they were getting hungry. And Jesus' friends, they said, "Jesus, how about you send the people away? That way they can go get food." And what Jesus says is, "No. We're going to feed them." And they say, "We don't know how to do that." Because all that we have here is, they collected everything. They had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Do you think that's enough to feed thousands of people? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Well, yes, but you know the story. Yeah. So Jesus collects that, and he prays. And he offers it, and they start feeding everyone, and everyone gets fed, and then there's baskets full of food left over. And it's like, how did that happen? Well, it was a miracle. But what we can learn in this miracle is something about God, is that when we offer just our little bits to God, God can do amazing things with them. And so whenever we do small acts of service in Christ's name, you'll be amazed at what God can do through that. When we come together and worship here, it might seem like a small act, but God is actually doing some amazing things through us out in this world. And so I hope that you can remember that even though it might look like we're doing small things, because we give them over to God, God can do some great and amazing things through us. All right, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us Jesus, who can show us the way, and who also teaches us that through our small acts, that he is able to do amazing things through them. That when we offer these little acts to him, that great things will come from it all. This we give thanks for in Christ's name. Amen. All right, y'all can go back to your pews now. Thanks.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The one time I can call it my penultimate sermon and actually use that word right. When I was in high school, I had studied German in school, and we hosted a German boy who came to school with me, and my German wasn't good enough to go back and go to school with him, but I was invited to go back and spend some time there during the summer. So after my junior year of high school, I made my way by myself to Germany, plane to train, and then finally arriving in my host family's village, meeting up with them and getting ready to spend a little less than a month's time learning culture and working on my German and all those great things. And of course, after a long day of travel when all I wanted to do was just kind of sit, I walked into my host family's house, and there my host mother had this big, huge meal, and I was the only guest. And so she just kept shoving German food down my face, plate after plate. Do you want some more? Do you want some more? An extension of that hospitality. And after a long day and a long evening of eating, I said out loud, "Ich bin voll." That sounds right, right? Ich bin voll. I am full. Well, here's the thing. Idiomatic things can do funny things. What "Ich bin voll" actually means is something more like, I'm full of myself, I'm obnoxious, I'm ridiculous. Now, mind you, I hadn't gone to Florida and become an arrogant Gator fan yet, so this is all before that. But here I pronounce, when I've had this bountiful meal, I am obnoxious, I'm full of it. And so the first German lesson I learned is it's actually, es ist mir satt. I am satisfied, I am well. Es ist mir satt. As we read this gospel text today, familiar words which come from all of the different synoptics, the story of Jesus encountering large crowds, and the count might be different in different versions, but all of them are hungry. All of them are a long way from home, and all of them need their fill. The disciples don't think that they can do it, but Jesus is confident that it can be done, and so taking 5 loaves and 2 fish provides more than enough for everyone. And at the end of this gospel text, we read, es ist mir satt. And the people were satisfied. In fact, they were so satisfied that not only did they have their fill and everything they needed after following Jesus to a deserted place, and everybody, 5,000, not just men, but then add on the women and children who weren't counted in that census. Probably enough to fill Colonial Life Arena, and all of them being filled by the miracle of a handful of fish and 5 loaves. And yet they are all satisfied. Satisfied in abundance. And taken care of beyond all measure. And what a great reminder for us to hear today. Because just by waking up with a roof over your head, having some sort of reliable transportation to get you here this morning, the idea that you can eat without worry 2 or 3 meals, maybe more sometime throughout this day, we proclaim as God's people, es ist mir satt. We are satisfied. We are blessed. We are given everything we needed. We have all that we need to live our lives, and we have health care for when things go wrong, and educational opportunities, and all the things that God gives us each day. And we are blessed. And that's no different as a congregation for 67 years here on this block doing God's work together. And the beauty of this place that we have to worship, where 35 or 40 kids will come to Bible school and almost 20 will go to the National Youth Gathering this summer, where there's opportunities for people to come together and learn, and Tuesday Bible study is full, and all the different things that we have, and we can proclaim, Es ist mir satt. And you've heard over the last few weeks that as we care for this building, and 5 years ago made the bold decision to spend over $600,000 on a roof that would last 70 or 80 years, and we're really close to paying that off because of God's generosity at work through you, Es ist mir satt. God gives us more than we could ever imagine or deserve. And so the abundance that we're reminded of in this place is a powerful reminder that God is at work and God is with us. I've had, as you can imagine, a lot of the same conversations with each of you over these last few weeks. We've talked about why the Spirit has led me to make this decision. We've talked about where I'm going and what I will encounter. We've talked about the ministries and elements of this life of faith that you care about. But in most all of the conversations that I've had with you, I've shared with you the wisdom that was given to me by one of my closest mentors. And he reminded me and said, as hard as this is for me to hear and for you to hear, that maybe you couldn't leave Good Shepherd at a better time. Because Good Shepherd can clearly see that God is with us and that we are satisfied and that the abundance of God's love is with us every day. That things aren't falling apart. That you all gather here to worship. And that those things will continue to happen with a wonderful interim that we have in store and whoever God calls next to be your senior pastor. Whatever our staff looks like and whatever transformations happen in these next few months, and maybe even into a year, we know that God is with us and God provides just as Jesus did on the deserted place, in an abundant place, God provides us too. And so as hard as that is to say and as hard as that is to hear, and I know that, I am confident in faith that God is with us and that the Holy Spirit continues to be at work in this place so that we can do more. God will continue to bring us abundance and bring it with leftovers so that we are satisfied in the love of Christ to go out and share that in the world with everybody that we encounter. But sometimes we're going to have in our lives and in our faith life together that mentality that the disciples had in this gospel text this day. Did you notice the first thing that Jesus did? Ever before he talked to his disciples, he gets off the boat and he has compassion for the crowd. And ever before he worries about what's for supper, he cures the sick. When he saw ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them and cured the sick. Right, well before we talk about feeding the 5,000 at all, Jesus is there to provide for us the promise of healing that comes only through him. And then after that, then everything else comes into place. But it's like the disciples miss that, because the first conversation that they have with Jesus is, this is a lot of people and we don't have enough food, so send them somewhere else. Send them to the villages to go get something to eat for supper. They completely miss the fact that Jesus is already at work and that Jesus is doing amazing things. And I think sometimes in our daily lives, and I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else, when we're so caught up in what we need to provide for in that next moment, we miss how Jesus is already at work in our lives. And we're reminded of the healing power that's made known to us through the gift of baptism. The promise that God is with us, and that no matter what we encounter in our lives, as I read from Romans 8 last week, no matter what separates us from the world around us, nothing separates us from the love of God. And God is with us, and God sustains us, and God holds on to us. And we see that abundance every day. I have a lot of fond memories from time here and other places along my journey, as I now will keep those memories and move on somewhere else. But the sermon that more of you have told me about over all these years than any other was about a man named Thomas. It's probably been, 5 years since I gave this sermon? Thomas was a man who called us who had just finished his dishwashing shift down in Five Points, and he knew we had a food pantry, and he knew that his daughter was home over on the other side of town, closer to the Broad River, hungry. And so Thomas asked, even though it wasn't the hours, if he could get a little food for her. And of course, we were filled with compassion and said, "Yes, Thomas, come on over. That'll be fine." And then he said, "All that I have is a bicycle. I wouldn't be able to carry the food home. Never mind." And so a young, energetic associate pastor who happened to have a little bit more time in his afternoon than I did said, "I'll help." And God worked through Pastor Chris to pack his vehicle and meet Thomas in a safe place and provide for those needs immediately for his daughter. And it was at a time where we had some extra school supplies and toothbrushes and all that, and we just put it together in abundance so that she might be satisfied. And Thomas actually called back to say thank you and to see how God was at work. If that's the sermon that more of you remember than anything else from my time here, then God is at work, because what we're being reminded of is not the funny stories I've shared, but how God is at work in individual relationships that we encounter, that we get to share in this community, and then we're empowered to go out and share in our lives. And so, yes, I realize that we're going to feel a little bit like the disciples right now. What do we do next? How is this going to all work? How is everything going to come together? Jesus, are you really with us? And I can promise you that the answer is yes. And Jesus is with us in abundance. Jesus will be with Catherine and the boys and I as we go somewhere else to start a new chapter in our ministry lives and in our family. But more importantly, Jesus will be with you all. Those of you who have seen God's abundance here, and those of you who know what is in store. So we don't have to worry about feeling full, worry about being obnoxious, because we know that God is present, and we know that God is with us. And in 5 loaves and 2 fish, there in a deserted place that day, Jesus made that promise to the world that is still talked about 2,000 years later, of how powerful God's abundance is. And we can still proclaim, "Es ist mir satt," I am satisfied. And in just a minute, you will have the opportunity to partake of that feast that Jesus gives us. And in just this little wafer where the real presence of Jesus Christ is made known, and the body and blood is present in this bread and wine, we are reminded that we are satisfied. And the abundance of God's gift made known to us in bread and wine, but even more powerful in the promise of the Holy Spirit, that we are called to live together in communion as a community of faith, no matter who the pastor is. That we are called to come together in communion, to be reminded of the forgiveness of our sins, and that we are sent forth with the love of the Holy Spirit, to be reminded that God's abundance is with us now and in life everlasting. God is with us. We are satisfied. These words are a familiar reminder of us, but our life together even more. I love you all. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Living in God's abundance, let us profess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Rejoicing in the risen life of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need, kneeling or seated as we are able. We pray for the church. Keep us steadfast in your word. Shape us according to your will. Heal our divisions, protect us from discord, unite us in your love, empower us for mission. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the earth, for forests and vineyards, marshes and springs, for grasslands and pastures, farmlands and orchards. Protect your creation from damage by earthquake, flood, wind, drought, fire, hail, or misuse. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations, for those who govern and all who hold authority, for those who have been displaced by warfare, economic hardship, or disaster. Bring freedom, justice, and stability to areas of conflict. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need, for those who are anxious, for those who suffer abuse or neglect, for those who are hungry or homeless, for those who grieve and all who are sick, especially those we name before you now on our lips and in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this assembly. Deepen our lives of prayer. Open us to the guiding of your Spirit. Fill us with compassion. Nourish us at your holy table. Strengthen us in service to our community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially our loved ones and those who have given their lives in service. Inspire us by their example and bring us to your eternal home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Joining our voices with your faithful ones in every time and place, we offer our prayers in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please rise. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Thank you. But
thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
You bring light from darkness, life from death, speech from silence. We praise you for the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who comes to us in this Holy Supper.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me."
In this feast, let us remember the one in whom we have hope, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
May the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
here's what we're going to do. Now, we have to leave this up here, but there is a vase in the back